Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. We'll start off with a listing of upcoming jazz festivals. The Jacksonville Jazz Festival in Jacksonville, Florida is go, May 26th through the 29th, Memorial Day weekend. For more information, jacksonvillejazzfest.com. Also scheduled during Memorial Day weekend, the 45th ATL Jazz Fest in Atlanta, Georgia, May 28th through the 30th. For more information, ATLJazzFest.com. The Scott Joplin International Ragtime Festival runs June 1st through the 4th in Sedalia, Missouri. For more information, scottjoplin.org. The Healdsburg Jazz Festival, now in its 24th year, will be held June 13th through the 19th in Healdsburg, California. For more information, healdsburgjazz.org. The 19th edition of the Rochester International Jazz Festival is scheduled June 17th through the 25th in Rochester, New York. For more information, rochesterjazz.com. This year's Vision Festival will be held at Roulette in Brooklyn, New York, June 21st through 25th, with a final day of performance June 26th at the Clement in Manhattan. For more information, artsforart.org. The Syracuse Jazz Fest is scheduled for June 23rd through June 25th in Syracuse, New York. For more information, syracusejazzfest.com. The Fruhofer's Saratoga Jazz Festival in Saratoga Springs, New York, is scheduled for Saturday, June 25th and Sunday, June 26th. For more information, spac.org. The Elastic Arts 4th Annual Benefit in Chicago, Illinois is scheduled for tomorrow, May 20th, with performances by Hearts and Winds with Chad Taylor and sound artist Norman W. Long. For more information, elasticarts.org. Drummer Dan Schnelli celebrates his debut recording, Shine Through, at Sam First in Los Angeles, California, tomorrow and Saturday, May 20th and 21st. For more information, samfirstbar.com. And on Saturday, May 21st, vocalist Terry Rozier and her quartet perform at Barnstock in Woodstock, New York. For more information, barnstockny.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, Friday, May 20th, drummer Peter Erskine, pianist Alan Pasqua, and bassist Derek Olis's Live in Italy on Fuzzy Music, pianist Joey Alexander's Origin on Mac Avenue. Other new releases, flutist Elsa Nielsen's Coast Redwoods on Ears and Eyes, tenor saxophonist Noah Preminger's Some Other Time on Nouvelle, drummer Jonathan Barber's self-release Poetic, and the Chicago Soul Jazz Collective meets Dee Alexander's On the Way to Be Free on J-Mark. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. My guests are vibraphonist, percussionist, composer, arranger, and educator Thaddeus Tukes, drummer, percussionist, composer, and educator Isaiah Spencer, and drummer, educator, band leader, and composer Jeremiah Collier. They comprise the 2022 Artist Corp, working and curating informal performances in neighborhoods on the south and west side of Chicago, Illinois. So I want to thank the three of you for being here on Situation Fluxus. The Hyde Park Jazz Festival received money from the NEA through the American Rescue Plan, $50,000, to distribute to arts workers and artists. Some of the money, along with money from the Walder Foundation, has gone toward a new project called Artist Corp that begins next month through October of this year. The three of you have been chosen as artists in neighborhoods to work and curate informal performances in your neighborhoods on the south and west side. Now, I have my map here, and what I'd like to know are, you know, one or two of the communities that you'll be working with. Isaiah?
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. One of the communities I'll be working in is Douglas Park, which is on the west side of Chicago. And then another community I'll be working in is Inglewood, which is the southwest side of Chicago.
Okay. Jeremiah?
One of the areas or neighborhoods will be, for me, will be the Park Manor on the south side. And then the Inglewood, like the center of the south side, will be like in the Inglewood area.
And Thaddeus?
One of the sites that I'm excited about is in Pilsen, where I'm working with a food pantry in Pilsen. And I'm also working, doing a show in Bronzeville at a new statue in Bronzeville.
Okay. Jeremiah and Thaddeus, you are residents of the South Side. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes, correct.
And Isaiah, you're also on the South Side, or?
I'm a resident of the West Side.
You're on the West Side. Okay. What were the reasons behind the choice of these two sections of Chicago?
Well, for me, I wouldn't say more of a, well, it kind of was a choice, honestly. Well, because most neighborhoods don't have access to, you know, not say like music, but they don't have access to, you know, just a different type of atmosphere for them to enjoy themselves. Like, most people don't get a chance to go out or want to go out to see certain things, so, or it might not ever get to them, or they might not ever see it. So it's like, for me, I want to come up with like, okay, how can we do this type of thing, but really close, so everybody can have a chance to come get it, absorb it, you know, and to like retain it and have something to like look forward to, instead of just being home all the time and not, you know, because, you know, like every area has its ups and downs. We know like every area has its seriousnesses and the lows. So it's like, I tried to pick an area where I know it can be a middle ground so everyone can feel safe and, you know, just overall just comfortable with each other.
All right, Jeremiah, let me latch on to what you said and ask this question. One of the goals of this initiative is to open up access for the South and West Side communities. As residents, what barriers have you seen or sensed to jazz and improvised music? Let me hear from Thaddeus on this.
Well, it's interesting because I think in a lot of communities, you are missing the place for you to have a jazz concert or the licenses to make the experiences what you want. I think I've been fortunate enough, at least, to witness people create their own jazz spaces and communities, even without maybe a physical building, or even if it wasn't in an official capacity, it might just be somebody throwing a concert in their backyard, or very similar to what Jeremiah and Isaiah did last year, where they're throwing concerts on the front lawn, which I think inspired this project. But as you know, Chicago has had a very deep history of giving access to certain people and restricting access from other people. I think the communities in which we're working for this project have been very resilient over the years and trying their best to at least maintain some of their arts and music culture. And I'm excited to help bolster some of the things they're doing in hopes that there are more resources poured back into these communities of the creators of this music.
Mm. Isaiah, would you like to chime in on that?
I mean, to piggyback off what Thaddeus said, I mean, the community, at least the communities that I've chose or that have been chosen, even from my standpoint, Jeremiah and Thaddeus's, these are very, very, very underserved communities. Douglas Park is a very underserved community, you know, from the food aspect of it to the entertainment aspect of it. And a lot of those things were stripped away or, you know, regentrification or tearing down and no way of rebuilding and no want to rebuild. So this project is important because it helps to replenish and nourish the communities which make this city what it is. And, you know, it's very hard for a lot of for the communities that we've chosen, the Douglas Parks, the Inglewoods, you know, even somewhat Pilsen, even though Pilsen is majorly regentrified now, but they're still low income residents there, but there's no accident. They can't come to Andy's and pay a $20 cover and then pay $20 for parking and then pay another almost maybe $100 for them to eat. And the funny thing is, by the time they spend that, they're spending basically what we just made. So this community, it's very important that we do this and give back to the communities and restore the idea of what it is to be an artist and be creative, yes, you know, to these communities. Yes. All right.
I want each of you to describe the communities that you'll be engaging with. Pick one and describe their uniqueness or, if you will, their flavor. Thaddeus.
Awesome. One of the communities with which I'm excited to work is the Pullman/Roseland area. We chose this site specifically because it's where I grew up. And as a kid studying music, there wasn't a lot of access to music in my local community. We would have to go downtown. I was really blessed with great parents who would take me to concerts or musicals or what have you, but they were never in the neighborhood. They were always downtown or in Hyde Park, or we'd have to go to Indiana. And I just remember being one of the very, very few kids in my local community. And we lived in a kind of community housing area where, you know, there's a lot of families kind of like mine. And I was one of the few people that had access to music lessons. I was one of the few people that had, you know, access to even theater things and such. And with some of the new developments in the area that are kind of targeting young folks and getting them interested in arts and music, et cetera, I was very excited at the opportunity and possibility to expose really the kids. You know, the adults are going to come for the enjoyment and we love for them to come to a concert, but I'm really thinking about the kids and if we can inspire some six-year-olds now to want to pursue this music that we all love and have dedicated our lives to, especially in conjunction with some local new resources that could allow them to pursue that interest, then I'll feel like my events were successful. Mm.
Jeremiah.
One of the areas I've chosen is pretty much, it's Inglewood, actually, because I could say I've been through there. I grew up in that atmosphere of like how the people are, how the whole scenery of that area. When people hear Inglewood, you know, it's just the first thing of, you know, the wrong view. So I've been there and I know what they have and I know what they don't have. I know what they've had access to. I know what they didn't have access to. So for me to be in this area is kind of really important because it's really a landmark for the South Side. And like most people go to Inglewood to get a taste of what it's like. Like, what is it to live in Inglewood? What is it like to stay there, be in this atmosphere around these types of things? So I was like, man, I definitely need to bring this to this neighborhood because I don't see it over there as often, even though I do know some people who do certain things as far as like teaching lessons for kids and giving them opportunities, but not everyone is aware of that. So if I could spread that even more with just doing the show and letting people know about these other opportunities that's out here for them and their kids, just to have something else to, you know, look forward to instead of the normal things. So that's pretty much where I'm headed with this whole thing, because we need more youth to push this art form, because that's how it got for us, honestly, because there was somebody that was in the next in line from us to help us and push us to understand, like, yo, this is what you need to do. But this is the most important part. The music is only like a small percentage of what we're really trying to do here. You know, so we're really trying to make it's a bigger message here. So I want to make sure that is definitely perceived in the right way and no one gets the wrong, you know, view of just the neighborhood, because they're good and bad, but mostly good.
Mm. And Isaiah?
I chose Douglas Park. And actually, I can't take all the credit. This is also, you know, our co-director and our spearheader, Mr. Samuel Lewis's idea as well. But Douglas Park holds cultural significance in a plethora of ways. Well, first of all, Douglas Park was renamed last year to the actual Frederick Douglass, which, you know, I happen to be a part of with Ernest Kabir Dawkins. He wrote a piece for Frederick yep. Douglass, and we performed it there for the renaming of Frederick Douglass Park. So that is one. Secondly, Douglas Park was once a very vibrant, very, very, very much Black owned and Black driven neighborhood. You know, as much as all of the West Acts. I mean, it's right off Roosevelt, you know, in between Roosevelt and let's say 19th Street, you know, and Douglas Park doesn't have the best of names due to, you know, traumas and a lot of violence in the area. And that area has never been really redeveloped or even given a chance. I mean, like I said, it's pretty much a food desert in that area. You know, besides the little area of Mexican Strip, where it's Mexican because it sits in between. It's a very interesting space because you have little, and that's another reason it was chosen from a demographic perspective, because you have Little Village there, and then you also have Douglas Park. And then also going all the way up, you have the Cook County Correctional Facility, which is just up the street on 26th in California. And I work at the jail teaching music. So, you know, I'm actually employing some of my former students who have been recently released to also work the project. But it's important because these communities were one, and furthermore, Douglas Park was once an artistic hub, you know, and the West Side in general, because people forget about the days of Madison Avenue when it was lined with blues clubs, where you could go see Magic Slim and go see Tail Dragger and go see Muddy Waters. Muddy Waters is a resident of the West Side.
Yep.
You have, and actually, he used to live in Douglas Park. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was one of his places. I mean, it's so culturally significant for us. So it's our social and civic responsibility to give that back to these communities in which they come. And I used to live in Douglas Park a long time ago too. But anyway, as Jeremiah said, it's just a small fragment of what we're trying to do here. You know, so this is just a liaison, so to speak, to get to a space where we all can be communal and share the same space, you know?
Yeah. Now, this is what I'd like to ask. Who are you and why do you feel you were the best choice for this role? Who wants to start?
I'll go on this one. My name is Isaiah Spencer III. I'm a drummer, composer, and educator from Chicago area, obviously. I believe I was chosen. I know I was chosen because I have quite a history in education. That's what I do during the day. I teach school. I teach music, you know, at New Trier High School. And then, you know, I work for a non-for-profit Recipe for Change at the jail. And I've had many jobs working for non-for-profits and working for other music programs. And being in my stature in the musical community here is being a mentor an educator. You know, I remember Thaddeus and Jeremiah when they're young. They still youngsters, but they out on the rise, so we can't call them that 3 months longer. You know, it's almost like the Ja Morant argument. Are they superstars or they're not superstars? In my superstars. And so is he. Anyway, but so with that being said, then I used to run a session many years ago at the Velvet Lounge, which was an artistic hub for many of us. And a lot of us who have come out of Chicago to do greater things, the Maurice Browns and the Corey Wilkes and the Junius Pauls and the Micaiah McCravens and the blah, blah, blahs. A lot of us grew up there, you know, and playing. But I've always been an educator and a mentor. And funny enough, when the pandemic started, you know, I was the first one to go out here and started doing these shows on my yard. And I used to stream them on Facebook Live. And then through that, others became inspired. You know, Jeremiah's spot blew up, and then Thaddeus took initiative and started his thing. And it was a bunch of other people that we haven't even mentioned that also threw. Anyway, so through those lenses and through that experience, I believe that's why I was chosen.
Let's see. How about Thaddeus?
Awesome. Thank you also, Isaiah, for that. That made me feel special on a Sunday morning. I am a music creator and music lover. I've been loving music since I was a little kid, and I knew it was my passion and how I wanted to spend my life, but I wasn't always sure of what that looked like. You know, a lot of times young people are attracted to the glamour and the fame and the potential money, and that's cool, and you might want those things to happen. But for me, especially as I've gotten older and learned more about what our world needs and how musicians have been taken advantage of, especially how jazz musicians have been kind of tossed around from jump, I wanted my music career to mean more than just being famous and being on poster boards. And I've done that through a number of mediums, whether that's literally taking marching bands to protests, whether that's advocating for, I do a lot of jazz musician community advocacy in front of folks' face and behind the scenes. People, stakeholders in the community will call me about who should perform here or how should we write this grant or things like that. And so for me, this is just an extension of my love for my Chicago jazz community, not only as a member of the community, but as a fan of all of these cats. Isaiah and Jeremiah are two of my favorite drummers, period. You know, I love to hear them play. And I'm hoping, you know, I don't know that I was the perfect choice. I don't know if we can say that, but I'm the perfect choice they made. And I'm thinking that's because, you know, hopefully everybody who interacts with me musically obviously loves my music and likes my playing, even though I know, you know, we all got to practice, so I'm shedding. But I think it's also because I try to make community an integral part of what I do on the bandstand and off the bandstand. I try, you know, I said this before, but my goal with my career is to set a precedent and set examples so that there are things that as jazz musicians, we might not have thought of that we can do now, or I'll take the risk and it might not work out, but maybe Jeremiah can come back later and figure it out the right way. And that's just the legacy. I know that I wouldn't be here as a musician without the legacy of the Chicago musicians and the mentors that I've had in places like the Velvet Lounge, et cetera, that welcome young musicians in. I used to do the Mecca Jam session at the Boathouse. They welcome young musicians in and let us play and just poured into us and still pour into me to this day. And I just want to pass that legacy and that tradition forward to anybody in Chicago who's trying to carry on the legacy.
And Jeremiah.
My name is Jeremiah Collier. I'm a drummer slash, I would say, well, I don't know what else to pretty much describe myself. I'll let you pretty much make your assumption about that. But for me, I really had a rough time trying to figure out what I was going to do when I couldn't play after a while, because I was looking on my phone and how, like, I was like, man,
am I really gonna, you know, be able to do stuff again? Because I'm looking at all this, like, stuff is being canceled. This is when the time, like, COVID was beginning and everybody was, like, still working a little bit before it started shutting stuff down for real. So one day, I think I was just sitting on my porch, or I was just, like, sitting outside, and I was thinking. And I asked God, and I was like, man, like, what in the hell should I do to, you know, make, like, you know, like, I mean, of course, I wanted to make money and play, but it was, like, I wanted to do concerts, too. Like, I was so used to doing them for a while. Like, I'm like, man, it just feels so weird to stop right now. So I didn't, like, honestly, I didn't really see anybody else doing this, like, on, like, outside. So, like, I was like, man, let me just figure something out, put something together. Because I didn't know how I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to be able to get that many people out. I didn't know how many people were going to show up unexpectedly. I mean, the first day I did it, like, playing on my front porch was, like, a big, like, surprise for me. Because I was just doing it as, like, just a hang. Because I only invited a couple of friends over. I'm like, yo, man, let's just play outside as an idea. So with that happening, I was just realizing how much more to do something for someone else instead of me. So I'm like, that's the reason why I'm doing this. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at the smiles of everyone else that's coming in. I'm like, I'm meeting new people every Thursday. Like, I'm having different celebrities come through. I had Father Flager from the Inglewood community. He's came through, like, more than 3 times already. We're actually doing one of the shows at his church. In his little area, I forgot what area it's called, but that's in the Inglewood area. And he's been more than gracious. He's helped us. He's let us come and do other things with him. And it's like, he's just been showing the support. And just from there, it's just been a great thing. And every time people are always asking me, like, man, are you guys doing that this year? You know, like, I've had plans on doing it again this year. So, you know, I just hope we can get better and better each year, and we can spread this thing around more to the different places, though. Like, I mean, I love doing it in Chicago, but let's see if we make this, like, the actual thing, if we can spread this out, you know, we can get more from this than just in Chicago. I know we can, especially if we're the only people we know, like, right now, that's, like, doing something like this in the world. Because I know this news, like, that news that they were talking about, like, when they was talking about all three of us, I feel like they brought it up on the news. And there, a lot of people saw that, you know what I'm saying? So I just know the opportunity for us to push this thing for real is definitely greater than what we think it is right now. So as long as we stay focused and just, because I don't feel like there isn't a perfect choice for anything, you know, like, if they saw that we were really serious about this, and they're like, man, that's what they want to invest into, and then they're making the right decision. Because I'm pretty sure they know all of our history. So it's like, you know, I don't feel like they made a wrong decision by picking anyone here. So I feel like we all are chosen correctly and purposely for this opportunity. So I'm glad to be here. Thank God for opportunity as well. So that's all for me.
No perfection. It doesn't exist.
For more information, HydeParkJazzFestival.org. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com. info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org. Interview is with guitarist Yuval Amihai. His new and fourth release as a leader is titled My 90s Summer on Fresh Sound Records. So I want to thank you for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. My 90s Summer tells the story of a journey through music over two decades and three continents. What has been your path from Israel to New York City?
Well, it's been, I feel like, a pretty long path because it went through Paris, France, in some ways, because both of these places have been in my mind since the moment I knew I was going to be a musician and to dedicate my life to it, and always thought about New York City, but also on Europe and Paris, which had great tradition of jazz and music. And I was very curious about it at the time when I studied classical music as well. So going to Europe made sense. But New York City, as you know, being the epicenter of jazz, was always something I felt like a calling for me. And from the first time I've been able to really visit it and to come as a musician, and see what it's about for myself, I just knew, you know, that's, it felt like home to me very, very quickly.
You've been surrounded by music your whole life and accepted as a talented and productive artist wherever you've traveled. That's what I've read about you. Were there periods of doubt about your career choice?
I think there are, yeah, always some doubts, you know, there always can be, there's like ups and downs, I think, like in life in general, but probably, you know, being an artist, performing musician is, sometimes it feels a little bit like a roller coaster because you don't really know, you know, it's not really easy to plan a long time, you know, ahead. And, but at the same time, it's really all about going after the reason why you do it in the first place, this pure adrenaline of making music, of improvising, of doing it in the best situations possible and with the best people. So, you know, no, when it came to the bottom line, it was always clear to me that, you know, that's what I'm doing, and just like keeping going no matter what. But of course, you know, sometimes there are hardships, and especially at the time of the pandemic, you know, when this is like a good example, when some, you know, you can have doubts when all of a sudden, in an unexpected way, like one of the main things that I do as a jazz musician, and any jazz musician, is like live performance was actually disappeared, and right, nobody knew for how long. So yeah, but you know, never, yeah, it's never a real doubt. Maybe sometimes, you know, it can have fears, you know, questions like what would be the best things to do next. But one of actually the main things that I saw in New York, and I felt since I came here for the first time, that it's kind of also about that, because I think no matter how what's going on, it's kind of this place makes it easier to remember and to be focused back on the reason, you know, like the real reason why we're here in the first place, why I'm doing what I'm doing. Sometimes it's just like you can just go out, you know, somewhere, and you'll get all inspired, you know. It's it's always there.
Tell us about your journey to this new release and the musicians you chose to join you.
Okay, so it's interesting because this new release has some older tunes. Most of the songs I wrote that's are on this album, I wrote a long time ago, but some of them a very long time ago, meaning that I play them with some of my first bands still in Israel. Others I played before in France, but and I wanted to record, but each time I made an album, it felt like it wasn't the right place for them. And I had this like nice number of compositions that I had, you know, in the drawer this way, and I didn't find right yet the right setting to do them. And at the same time, I mean, or in parallel, when I came to New York City, I just met a great number of amazing musicians, really, you know, some of the best in the world. And I used to go out practically every night to every session, every jam session, every place I could listen to music, and also mostly sit in and join the band. And this is how I met all the musicians which are on the album. And yeah, these are some of the best, you know, musicians I've ever worked with, and just some of the best in the world. And meeting David Kikowski and being able to work with him is just, I feel like, so fortunate to be able to do it. And since we met, we've been working together quite a bit. And
yeah, he's been with you since about 2019.
That's right. Yeah. We started working together and playing, and then we recorded this three-song video with some of the, with even two tunes that we later recorded again on the album. And originally, I thought this band would work a little, like, perform in more live situations before we got, and then, like, that was the original plan. I thought we would, we had a bunch of nice gigs coming up, and then, you know, it looked to me like it was going to naturally lead to a recording in which I thought originally probably to include some old compositions and some new, and, you know, as we go along, because a lot of time when you perform live, you just learn new things, you see how you sound, and you change, you have new ideas, but eventually when the pandemic came, so, you know, there was this kind of hold on all of that, and so I was really trying, just, I felt like I had these songs that it kind of felt like now or never, you know. And I have this, we played a few times with Dave during the pandemic after the thing got a little bit, you know, like more relaxed, and then I just saw this chance to record these songs and this music with these guys, and I said, okay, yeah, let's do it, you know, we gotta do it. And I'm really happy we did.
Classical music and jazz and improvised music. And I know that, you know, the music notation for both is the same, but is there a mindset that you had to have to write 8 original compositions that encompass both genres and the music of your heritage and the places you've traveled?
Right. I think like this mix of all the things you said accurately, that which are part of me and, you know, my growing into music, are, it's kind of it gets blended pretty much naturally, I think. You know, I'm trying to let it be there naturally, and I never really tried to write to a specific style or, you know, like to give it a label beforehand, but after, you know, it comes out, whatever it may sound like to anyone, that's fine with me, you know. But the fact that it has all this mix of things is also got to do, I think, with my background, like growing up in Israel, which is, you know, really young country in one hand. I was like basically the first generation, like my like first or second, you know, like my mother, she wasn't even born there yet. And but we had a lot of influences from a lot of different sources. And musically, like the first way most people learn music in Israel is classical music, because a lot of people came there from Europe, and that's how they transmit, you know, piano music, and that's how I started learning piano. But then jazz, actually I started more with like rock and electric guitar, and then discovered jazz through this. But the way I learned was pretty much like this, because at some point as a kid, I had this tendency just to not wanting to be, you know, with sheet music and reading notes, but just to improvise without really knowing, you know, about jazz too much. And then when I discovered it, like, became something, like, I felt like, wow, I came home. That's,
yeah, you're already, yeah, you were already there.
That's what, exactly. And because when I, at some point, I just left the piano as a kid and started playing guitar, but that was mostly by ear. It was very different than the way I learned piano before. Mm-hmm. And just, you would play records and play what I hear, play along with them, transcribe the music, and then play with bands. And when I, yeah, so the world of jazz was like the most natural thing for me, and I was kind of captured by this, you know, magic, very, at the very beginning, when I just starting to be aware of it.
Yeah. Let's see. How long have you lived? You've been in New York City since 1995?
No, in New York City.
No. Okay.
Yeah, no, I've been only since 2018.
2018. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you still have family in Israel?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Has any member of your family come over to hear you play over here?
Yeah, well, so yeah, since I've been here, it's been 4 years, and two of them were with the pandemic. It was much more complicated. But before, like in the first 2 years, definitely, yeah, they both been here and saw me perform. And before that, in Paris also for a long time. I left in Israel in 2005 to Paris. And stayed there for 12 years, and then came here to New York City in 2018.
Sweet. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, as we start to come to the end of this interview, I want to leave the last word for you. Is there something I didn't ask you? Is there something you'd like to tell us, like hint, hint, about some upcoming gigs in New York City?
Oh, definitely. With pleasure. So next week I'm going to play in one of the greatest new places in New York City, which is called Ornithology Jazz Club. This is this was founded and opened by Mitch Borden and his wife Rie, which Mitch was the original founder of Smalls Jazz Club, and he just opened this new beautiful place right in the same spirit that everybody who knows Smalls Jazz Club knows and loves. It's all about the music and beautiful people. So next week, Wednesday, May 18th, I'm going to play there with David Kikoski on piano and Kosh Abadi on drums and Alon Ear on bass. So great band. And on June 21st, I'm going to also play with David Kikoski at Mesro Jazz Club, which is one of the greatest clubs in New York City. Trio with David Kikoski and Alexander Claffey on bass. Other than that, I have really good gigs at another new place in New York, which is called Hermana NYC. Mm-hmm. Wonderful Mexican restaurant and jazz club on in the East Village. So I play them on May 27th with the great drummer Ari Honig. So a lot of exciting things coming up.
Keep them busy.
Doing my best.
Yes. For more information, YuvalAmihai.com. We'll end today's show with two selections. The first from Barcelona-born jazz bassist Manel Fortia's self-release Despertar. We'll hear Ares de Libertad. He's joined by pianist Marco Mesquita and drummer Rafael Panier. The album release concert is this Saturday, May 21st, at the Mediterranean Jazz Festival at Drom in New York City. And the second, from the progressive funk band from Southern California, the San Gabriel Seven, featuring Danish singer Sina Yi. We'll hear The Barista from their self-release Under the Stars. There's a little cozy street cafe, though I know that it's quite out of my way. I can always find one good excuse to pop by. How I quietly enjoy the view while he gracefully serves my morning brew.
when it's afternoon, it's not a minute too soon to go and buy a new supply, my oh my. I'm selfishly in love, my eyes won't leave him alone. I know I'm much too much, I'm pretty obviously blown away. Wake up and smell the coffee, I'm a fool but I'm drawn, just like a hipster to kombucha, like the Mad Hatter to tea. I'm his favorite guest, I've always known, the way he draws hearts and angels in my phone. Oh, his cappuccino is a fine work of art, it's poetry just for me, so is he.
Delirious, I'm on my
my 17th cup. But don't you stop, keep it up, fill my cup.
Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you.